This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store for an amazing collection of Star Wars action figures, collectibles, and so much more. Head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys to check out all of their awesome, awesome merchandise. Once again, that's StarWarsReport.com/toys.
Hi, this is Aaron Alston, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. This is episode 123. Welcome, come in. Hail and well met. I'm your host for this evening, founder of the Star Wars Report and host of this here Star Wars podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun for the next half hour to hour talking about that galaxy far, far away. I'm Riley Blanton. So glad to have you with us this morning, afternoon, or evening. Please delete. You guys know the drill. Please delete as appropriate. So, I mean, you might be listening to this in the morning or afternoon. We don't know. We don't know. And that's why it's a podcast. Welcome to the Star Wars Report. I'd like to bring in my good friend and sister in the Force, and also actual biological sister. Hey, it's Bethany.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
I'm glad to be back.
Welcome.
Though part of the topics tonight,
yes,
do not make me glad.
Yes, we do have some sad stuff to talk about this evening as well, but also some exciting stuff. And also joining us to do so, it's Mr. Aaron Goins of the Star Wars Bookworms podcast. And contributed to StarWarsReport.com. And you do a bunch of other stuff too, right, Aaron? I mean, like, there's a bunch of sites. You're a man of many, many talents as far as Star Wars writing goes, as I understand.
I do some things.
Some things that more so than me. I'll tell you that.
But I'm happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to have you, Aaron. And, we've got a lot to talk about, but before we jump into the main part of the show, I want to address some really sad news that came into the fan community, really just these last few days as we record this, and that is the passing of Aaron Alston. And I just wanted to take a moment at the beginning of the show to say how tragic that is, and how much we feel for Aaron's family and friends, and how much he is missed from the fan community, and really. It's sometimes hard to appropriately pay tribute, I think, to this kind of thing, because as fandom, it's kind of a strange spot that we're in, because with the online community, it's so much more than just if a Star Wars creative passed away, because he wasn't just a Star Wars creative, he was such an integral part of the fan community. And I'll never forget, and I wanted to tell this story as soon as I knew I wanted to do a little bit of a tribute here at the outset of the show. Aaron was the first guy, the first Star Wars quote unquote celebrity that I ever asked to take a picture with. As I recall, it's a Celebration 5. And this was like an actual proper pose picture, not just like a picture of me interviewing people. Cause that had turned up in sometimes in the past, but like the first time. And it's a weird reason. It's just cause, I had read maybe two Aaron Alston books. It wasn't like I'm a huge, huge, huge X-Wing, nerd or anything like that. But at Celebration 5, it was just after the social media and Star Wars, the fandom in 140 words or less panel, which I always thought was kind of oddly worded because it was 140 characters, not 140 words. That or it was a really short panel. But no, Aaron was actually walking out of that panel and I recognized him. And he was so friendly and he was chatting with fans that I just said, hey, I should take this opportunity and just say hello. And of course, after that, it kind of became a tradition where at Dragon Con, you know, he would be, at the next year's Dragon Con, he was there. We saw him from a distance and got a picture with him, said hello. And then the following Dragon Con after that, we also, the same thing happened. It was kind of like the part of the initiation of Dragon Con beginning was day one seeing Aaron Alston. So it's just one of those times where I wanted to take a moment and thank him, for everything he's done for the fan community. And he's been on our show. We interviewed him when we were out at Fan Days, and that was a really great experience. He was very kind with his time and very patient with us, because that was a stage when the show was still, that was in the first year of the show. So I just wanted to pay tribute to him and say that we will miss him. Indeed.
You actually, it's kind of uncanny how similar your story is to the first time I met Aaron Alston.
And when was your first time? Was it same panel? Because I know you were at that panel. Really?
Yeah, it was the exact same thing. He was the first Star Wars author that I've ever met in person. It was after that exact same panel at Celebration 5. So we probably saw each other and didn't even realize it. But yeah, I asked to take a picture with him, kind of the same thing. You know, he's really kind, you know, nice guy. And then I was able to meet him again at Celebration 6. And actually, it was at a party after the convention. So I was able to actually sit down with him for quite a while and actually talk books. And he was just such a nice guy. And, you know, kind of the same thing like you were saying. It's just, it's so terrible to hear this news. And I was very devastated when I heard it, and still kind of trying to wrap my mind around the fact that, you know, that we've lost this, you know, brilliant person. And it's very sad.
It's interesting to me, because what Riley said about it's an odd place to be, in a way, to, as a fan community person, you know, none of the three of us are really close personal friends. We're not family members. But we don't miss Aaron just for the simple fact that, oh, he wrote entertainment that we are entertained by. But because he was a staple in a community that is far more than just the entertainment. Because it is a community of friends. It is a community family in its own right. And he was definitely a part of that. Frankly, I have a hard time picturing DragonCon without Aaron Alston, just because he was always there. And author panels that he participated in were made all the more amazing for his participation. And he was so nice. You know, I have always heard when everyone talking about Aaron Alston talks about how nice he is, how kind he is, how amazing it is as a fan to be able to talk with an author who is as kind and open and interesting to talk to as he is. And he always made himself available to the fans, again, making it more a part of the community.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just a money-making process for him, and it's not just the entertainment for us. So.
For sure, for sure. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where, whether it was Fandazine, you know what I think I should do, and I'll make a note of this. I want to put his interview from Fandays. I'll put that in post after the credits of the show if you guys want, just because he was so nice. And I was listening back to it earlier today, and I was like, man, we were such noobs, and he was so nice to us. So we salute you, Aaron Alston, and really appreciate you as the man and also as a contributor to our community. And you know, may he pass on into the Force, and certainly our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Man, it is tragic, but it is something that I think needed to be addressed. And I appreciate, again, Aaron, I appreciate you coming on with us and talking a little bit about the man, the myth, Aaron Alston. But I'd like to bring him to the podcast right now. He's just joining us, someone who I can't believe hasn't been on the show before. Not properly, but we're remedying that problem right now. It's Mr. Michael Cohen of ClonewarsPodcast.com, the infamous Frontlines Clone Wars podcast. How are you, sir?
I am good. You know what? It's a funny thing. For as long as I've been doing the podcast thing, which is, I guess, about 6 years now, it'll be 6 years in August.
Wow.
For as long as I've been doing this, I haven't really done that many guest spots on podcasts. And I've had plenty of people on Frontlines. And I've definitely had a fair number of people over on Quiver, which is my Green Arrow podcast. But I don't know. I just haven't really made the rounds. I've been on really a handful of podcasts. So don't feel bad.
It's Steve's fault.
It's a thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a thing where, like, I know everybody. Everybody knows me, but I just haven't been on podcasts.
No, I sympathize. Believe me, I do. No, and what's interesting is I want to tell the audience story. I remember the year was early 2011. So this would have been, right towards the beginning. That's about 5 years ago now, I guess. Right towards the beginning of your career. And I was listening to this Clone Wars podcast called Frontlines. And I just discovered it and I heard on it. I'm looking for a co-host. I thought anyone who's interested, I'm kind of going through process. If you're interested, just shoot me an email and we'll follow up and we'll see if we can work it out. And I came this close, sir. I don't know if you've ever knew this close to applying, to be the co-host of Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast.
That's funny.
And instead I did not, and later that year applied and did, you know, my introduction to Star Wars podcasting through the EUcast, ever so briefly. But that's it's like, can you imagine like the alternate reality where going into Celebration 5, we both know each other like really well? I think things worked out for the best. Unfortunately, Matt's not with us, your co-host from Frontlines and of course now rebelspodcast.com.
Yeah.
But hopefully he'll be able to join us soon. I know I take responsibility for some measure of scheduling issues, which never happens on podcasting. I just want to point that out. But
yes.
No, I remember that because, and then the first time I saw you in person, it was at the opening ceremonies of Celebration 5. And I heard a voice. I think I've said this story somewhere on air. I don't think it's been on this show though. I heard a voice. Oh, no, not like that. But off into my left field of hearing, I hear a really, really excited Steve Glasson yell. Now, at this point, I've listened to Steve's shows, Geek Out Loud, for almost as long as I had for what was then the Forcecast. That was kind of my introduction to podcasting. And I remember hearing that voice and thinking, holy cow, there are the reality of people in the community that I felt really connected to through podcasting and social media being in one physical location just sank in on me all at that one moment that there at the opening ceremonies of Celebration 5. And immediately after this, it's not really a panel, but you know, after the opening ceremony, I lumbered my way through the crowd, trying as politely as possible to shove people out of the way, which I guess is not particularly polite, and make my way towards the sound of the voice. And there was Steve Glasson. Of course, he just totally blew me off. Crushed my little dreams. No. He says that happened. I don't remember it like that at all. But maybe it was the sheer awe. but of course, and there you were standing. And so I walked up to you shortly afterwards and I said, oh, and it's Michael Cohen. I know you from the Clone Wars podcast, from Frontlines. And then I will never forget, Steve looks at you and he says, see, people do know you.
Yes, I remember that.
Thus laid the foundation for some of the most fun times that we would have, of course, at Celebration 6 and up to now. So I am so glad to finally be rectifying this terrible wrong that I have not had you properly on the show. But so how have things been, man? How are things going with the Rebels podcast launch and what are you guys up to?
Things have been pretty good. They've been quiet, right? I mean, since really the announcement of Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, it's a shame.
We didn't really get very much. We got that little teaser, which really didn't do anything for anybody. We expected to get a bunch of news way back at New York Comic Con, way back in September. And Matt and I tried to do an episode. We did an episode, but it's really just the two of us predicting a lot of things. And it became very outdated very quickly, so we didn't end up airing that one. So we've just launched recently with the crazy flurry of news about Rebels.
Holy cow.
So, and even then, we did it, I guess it was about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now. And we hadn't even gotten all of the news yet. So Matt and I are going to be back recording soon to talk about the second half of all of the new character reveals. But yeah, if you go to rebelspodcast.com, you can check out our first episode. And we'll be back really soon with Clone Wars stuff.
That's right.
On Frontlines. So.
Well, and that's what one reason I wanted to have you on was because we are going to dissect and talk about this amazing Lost Missions trailer.
Yes.
Almost 3 minutes of pure awesome. But also before we do, before we do, I have a request. Hey, can you redesign our site? Holy cow. It's a great looking site. Like web design has never been my forte.
I'll tell you, as much I am a graphic designer, web design is my job, but I don't really have that much time to spend on web design, for my hobbies. So this is actually just a WordPress template that I bought that has some customization options. So if you check out, if you go from Frontlines to Quiver to Rebels and even Star Wars, The Saga Continues, which is Kyle and Tim's podcast, which is associated with us, they're all the same theme. It's all the same template. It's just some things switched in and out. So
it's looking good though.
Yeah, it does. It does, but that's the secret to the web design success.
Web design
on the front.
Secrets revealed.
Yeah, it's very simple. But we can talk about that later.
Oh no! Well, I'll tell you what. Like, let's just jump straight into it because I mean we have a lot to catch up on, and unfortunately, I always have a lot more fun when there's, especially now that we have some celebrations and stuff behind us. The conversation is different. When it's actually people who've hung out in line at absurd hours in the morning waiting for George Lucas and talked about the weirdest stuff that you can, or gotten horrible leg cramps while waiting for the closing ceremonies announcing, you know, 7, 8, 9. So like Star Wars conversations are better with friends. Star Wars conversations are even better with friends that you've been able to connect with in person. So that's what we're going to have some fun there talking about. Hey, it's a new Clone Wars trailer. Let's not delay any further.
Yoda, my old friend, it is I, Qui-Gon Jinn.
The voice I hear does not come from within, but speaks from beyond.
You must complete what I could not. Come to Dagobah. The answers you seek are here.
Of the clone army kept secret from us, Cypher DST. How this was done, we know not. Yet now, a new piece of the puzzle we have.
It seems he's had some sort of breakdown. He doesn't seem to remember what happened.
Protocol 66 must not be discovered by the Jedi.
Yes, Lord Tyrannus.
Our garrison has been attacked by the Separatists. I'm afraid I'm trapped.
Senator Amidala, you are under arrest for espionage.
There it is, gentlemen.
The bravest of journeys to Moragon,
the ancient homeworld of the Sith.
Clone Wars Season 6.
Thanks. It wasn't you I wanted to save.
There must be 100 droids in that hangar. This is stretching it even for you, sir.
Rex, you're beginning to sound like Obi-Wan.
Hello, Hello, CT-5555.
No clone uses a number. I am Fives. Call me Fives.
The difference is minimal.
Not to me. And not to any clone.
Okay, guys, I have a quick confession. I was only going to play like the first part of the clip, and then I couldn't stop. Wow. Okay. So, let's jump straight. Before we jump into specifics, first of all, I'm going to reference Fantastic Piece by Club Jade, where Jawa James analyzes the entire trailer. But we've got a couple interesting things. But just first impressions. Let's start to you, Aaron. Aaron, are you with us still?
Yes, I am.
All right. Your first impressions. Last episodes of the Clone Wars. What'd you think?
I can't wait. I mean, the Clone Wars is one of my favorite television shows of all time, and really excited that they are giving us these 13 episodes. And from the looks of it, it looks like they're giving us some pretty quality stuff. I think the only ones I might not be as excited for are the like Padme centric episodes. But beyond that, it looks like we're going to get some really cool stuff, with Mace Windu and Yoda. And, you know, they have Sifo Dyas coming, and I'm sure we'll talk about all these things. But, yeah, I'm really excited.
Like, Yoda fighting Sidious? What are we doing, Michael? How is this happening?
Hi. There's some interesting stuff. And, you know, I think with the Yoda stuff specifically, that we need to be careful what we're taking at face value. So, because of the fact that his storyline appears to be very spiritual in nature. So there may be some visions of the future type stuff going on there. There may be some, the cave on Dagobah type stuff going on. So there might be Yoda and Sidious face to face might not be as earth shattering as it is at first glance. Because when I first saw that part of the trailer, I had to kind of do a double take, go back and see it again and be like, did I just really see that? Because that doesn't really jive with continuity, right? Like, that doesn't really make sense. I mean, if Yoda had faced down Sidious prior to episode 3, I think he would have known to take Obi-Wan with him and not just go it alone against the Sith Master. So, we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen there, but we really don't have to wait that long. And that's one of the best things about this whole situation is that it's all on Netflix all at once. I'm taking Friday off of work, March 7th to just sit and binge watch the whole thing. I'll just be watching all 13 episodes back to back without a break.
Fortunately,
That's my plan.
Nicely done, sir. You know, fortunately, I don't have class on that day. I'll probably be doing a very similar thing.
And I have a big test that day.
Yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate.
So, like,
it'll be waiting for you. That's the thing. Like, that's the great thing about Netflix is that it's just kind of always there, right? And the whole series is going to be up on Netflix, which means that a lot of people who missed out on the Clone Wars are going to get to go back and watch the whole thing. Now, those of us who bought seasons 1 to 5 on Blu-ray are probably feeling a little bit chipped at the moment.
I'm going to take a moment here, Michael, and just point out the fact that I kind of held back on seasons 5 and waited and didn't buy the whole series box set.
I picked up the whole series, so.
I would still rather have season 6 and feel a little, oh man, wish I'd waited to buy it. And then not to have a season 6, though.
Sure, sure. Like in the grand scheme of things. Okay, so let's talk about it. So we've got the first thing is the Yoda arc. We're seeing basically Yoda communing with Liam Neeson, aka Qui-Gon Jinn. Which, by the way, Qui-Gon Jinn,
Jedi.
No, I'm just gonna say, like, Qui-Gon Jinn is my favorite character from the prequels, personally. I really, really like his character and really like his portrayal of the Phantom Menace. In fact, like, we don't talk about it enough, but I think he is I think this puts it a little bit more negatively than I mean it to sound, but I think he's kind of like the saving grace of the Phantom Menace. He's the core that I think really holds it together, as far as the storyline goes. And so I'm really happy to see Liam Neeson voicing the character. And so, of course, he's like, so, Yoda. Gotta head off to Dagobah. And, like, when I hear the words Dagobah even though Dagobah is not words, it's word. When I hear the word Dagobah, take two, Riley. there's something in me when you hear about a core planet from Star Wars. Not some weird Moriban, we'll get to that. But when you hear, like, it would be like we're going to visit Hoth. The idea of visiting Dagobah, it a level of legitimacy that gets me excited about the trailer, because you know something important's happening. Because let's face it, these are the last Star Wars tales that will come from the mind of George Lucas. And when it's George Lucas visiting Dagobah, you get a true sense of the legitimacy of the storytelling. So I'm super excited about that aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for what that's worth, the legitimacy of it being a George Lucas story. Because for some fans at this point, what that means is everything that you thought you knew is completely wrong, and there's absolutely no attention paid to prior continuity. So it kind of goes both ways for me. Like, on the one hand, he's George Lucas. He's the creator. What he says is law. We are moving into a new era.
I was gonna say Star was Wars law.
With episode 7. So, the idea of the George Lucas stuff being the pure Star Wars, something that I think we're all gonna have to kind of evolve away from, because it's not gonna be the case anymore.
It's weird. I was thinking about it yesterday, as I want to do sometimes, and I just remember thinking to myself, man, it's kind of being in a weird place now that. You don't really have the level of definition that you would have, before, because now that George Lucas isn't involved. So I kind of have that sense of, wow, this is cool. This is awesome, because it's going to be a Lucas story. But of course, moving forward, the legitimate canon is no longer determined by George Lucas. So I don't know. But I do genuinely have a sense of excitement about hearing about Dagobah, and the fact that it is Clone Wars and it is George Lucas gets me pretty excited about it. And I'll tell you what, fortunately, Aaron, not that many EU stories centered around Dagobah, as I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't mess up too much. I'm kind of surprised they're going to Dagobah in the series, and I'm surprised that Yoda's going there kind of before his exile, something that I guess I kind of always assumed that when he went to Dagobah, it was kind of like the first time, so... But I guess it makes sense that he had been there before and he's going back. So, yeah, it is interesting that they're sending him there.
Well, it's one of those things where it's sort of like – it depends on how they do it. It really does. But I'll tell you what. The idea of having the whole council, you know, kind of putting the hands on the shoulders of Yoda there, kind of an interesting concept that there does seem to be a larger scale mission. Of course, you see Opa Rancisis.
Now that's more of a chance where they're showing him. There's definitely more of a chance there that they might mess up the expanded universe, because there is stories about Opa Rancisis in the comics and his death. So depending on where this is supposed to fall in the timeline, it might be another Even Peele type situation where it's like, is he supposed to be alive or what?
Because he's no longer there in episode 3. That's all I know. But yeah, cool. I'll tell you what, I'm going to pause the recorder real quick. We'll be right back with you guys, and I'm going to solve a quick audio issue. And we're back. Although, unfortunately, audio problems don't seem to quite resolve, but that's kind of the nature of this podcasting thing. All right. So I do want to continue talking about the trailer, but I want to get you guys' thoughts on, so we talked about it briefly, Moriband. Aaron, you're the big EU nerd. What are your thoughts on the really, 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 really similar sounding homeworld of the Sith planet? Are you like, are there other explanations for this? Or is this something that you think is kind of dumb? Or where are you kind of feeling about this, Aaron?
I think overall it's disappointing they didn't just use Korriban. I can understand why they didn't. They probably don't want to associate to that planet because there's such an established history of it. And if you say it's Korriban, then people might have certain expectations. In my mind, though, it could be easily retconned. You know, there's lots of places in the world that have two different names for the same place, you know. So kind of like Deutschland or Germany, you know, it's the same thing. So in my mind, if you want to be, you know, really picky about it and say that it's the same thing, it's Moriband and Korriban are actually the same planet.
Yeah.
You know, that's an easy retcon.
No, I could see that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on this, Michael?
Well, I make it really easy on myself. Anything that was established in a video game that's not the first Force Unleashed, I really don't consider to be any kind of canon whatsoever. What happens in video game development is oftentimes things are borrowed, misappropriated, or cloned, and just sort of not really paid that much care or attention to. And Korriban is I think one of those things. Somebody could probably correct me. I don't know if it appears before that. If it does, it appears before the Knights of the Old Republic game. If it does, I would imagine that it probably appears somewhere in the Tales of the Jedi comics. You know, most people are going to be familiar with Korriban from the video game. And most incarnations post Knights of the Old Republic 2, I think, is when it shows up. Maybe it's the first one. Most instances are going to be based off of that video game incarnation. The video game incarnation is full of creatures and characters that were cloned from other enemies that you fought earlier in the game or elsewhere in the game. So, like, you just get these really sort of messed up, weird stories of how this creature got to this planet, and you have to create an environment specifically for a video game, which isn't the same thing as creating an environment for a narrative.
Yeah.
So, especially as video games back in that era, I don't think treated things with that much reverence. It's different now. I think that game stories, can be every bit as good as a TV show or a movie, but I think the Knights of the Old Republic games were sort of an intermediary between time when stories in video games made no sense and were completely irrelevant to the point where we're at now, where the stories can be better than a lot of shows that are on TV. But there was that weird point in between on the PlayStation 2 and the original Xbox where there were a lot of games that were really trying to do something cool with the story, but missed the mark a little bit. And Knights of the Old Republic is one of those. I love the games, but their stories are a little bit far-fetched and obnoxious by nature of what they are. So any real attachment I have to Korriban comes from those, and I don't really care. So if they want to change it to Moriban, it doesn't affect anything. And for me, I don't know. I always go back to the Mandalorian stuff in the Clone Wars. You can get it to reconcile with the existing expanded universe if you want to try, and I don't know. I kind of just pick and choose the parts that I like. And the stories that we got in season 5 were well worth losing some of the bad novels and comic books that came before. So, and I don't know. It whatever we get in this arc with Yoda will be superior to anything that we had before it. So it's going to overwrite it. And I'm fine with that. That it doesn't matter to me, but who listen to Frontlines will know that I'm not really an EU purist. The EU kind of sits on a different level of continuity. And I don't know, I disregard a lot of it a lot of the time, because if you sit and you try and hold all that stuff in your head and reconcile it with things that happen in the movies or Clone Wars, or even from book to book and comic to comic, you'll just drive yourself nuts and you won't have any fun with Star Wars. So that's my opinion.
Well, yeah.
I still have fun with Star Wars. It hasn't made me go crazy yet, but I guess I am one of the types that likes to try to fit everything together if at all possible.
Well, but, it sounds to me like you're doing
did show up at in the Tales of the Jedi comics from 1994 before Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that it was because I think you can find like Exar Kun's grave or something like that. Some character, Exar Kun or somebody like that, in one of the games.
Yeah. So. Well, it sounds to me like it's your argument is quality over continuity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously Rebels is going to retcon a great deal of what's come before it, including, as I mentioned before, The Force Unleashed.
Tragically, if you ask me, which is funny because for the first time I find myself in the position of someone who's like, but I like that game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Riley. I mean, the story set forth in The Force Unleashed and how the rebellion comes to be in that game, I think is expert. And I once held The Force Unleashed on the same level that I hold Shadows of the Empire, right? Where it's canon, but it's not really canon because it's not a movie, right? It's not one of the proper stories, and George Lucas didn't write it. So if he wants to overwrite it, he can. But yeah, it was at one point in time when it was announced as being the canon storyline. This is how it happened. But now we're going to see a different take on that, and who knows, they might reconcile the two, and what I've been saying is that hopefully Rebels is just one faction of the Rebel Alliance, because it's not just the Rebellion, right? It's the Rebel Alliance. It's a whole group of rebellions that come together in order to fight the Empire. So the Lothal Rebellion might just be one facet of the Rebellion, and Mon Mothma and Bail Organa and Starkiller might be another faction of the rebellion that comes together. So who knows? Who knows what we'll see?
Well, if anything, if there's anything that else we've learned from the team at Lucasfilm, it's they're pretty good at making things still fit together. Goodness knows, it's like the Mandalorian arc from the Clone Wars can also still fit together with you know, the prior continuity. They can somehow squeeze that through. I'm pretty sure they can handle this. Well, I'll tell you what, I think. Bethany and Aaron, I know both of you are having to bug out in just a moment, so I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to give any closing thoughts on the trailer. We'll start with you, Bethany.
For me, some of the closing thoughts on the trailer were, I really am interested in everything that involves Yoda in this season. Just from what I can see in the trailer and from the fact that Yoda is a character that I've always liked, and I've always liked his stories in the Clone Wars as well. But just from all of the different hints and the different flashbacks or flash forwards that we see, all of that to me is quite interesting, and I am curious to see where they will take it. It could just mostly be a tease with not much of a follow through, or it could be something quite Star Wars changing. Who knows?
Well, yeah, you never know. And Aaron, I want to give you an opportunity as well.
And I mean, even if it's Korriban, Moriband, whatever, I think it's cool that they're going to the Sith homeworld. I think that's going to be an exciting storyline with Yoda, to see what that planet's going to be all about, what it's going to look like. It looks like he's going to be going through a pretty trippy experience. So I'm excited about, you know, seeing more. And just some of the other things that kind of stuck out in the trailer for me is, we saw a bunch of the young clones. So does that mean we're going to get Daniel Logan back? Possibly. The fact that Sidious called it Protocol 66 and not Order 66, and he was talking to the Kaminoans, so they were in on it as well. Mace Windu fighting against Mother Talzin, that was completely unexpected, and I really want to see how that goes down. We get another Obi-Wan Anakin face-off with Dooku. So yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. I don't know if I'm going to watch all 13 in a row. I kind of want to savor it. So I might watch a couple one night and then watch a couple another night. But I'm like super excited and cannot wait until March 7th.
Well, Aaron, you know how this goes down. Aaron, you know how this goes down. We have to be able to not be spoiled. That'll be like this horrible, horrible, if you can't catch up quickly, period of time.
That's true. But it's already been released in Germany. So
That's true.
I'm sure spoilers are already out there.
I've avoided them, by the way. Pinky swear. I've been able to avoid them. From our friends in Germany. Cool deal. Well, thanks for coming on, Aaron and Bethany. We appreciate it, as always. And as always.
Glad to be on.
Stay in touch, and we'll have you back on soon.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. One. And we're back. All right. So, Michael, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the trailer. So, they hit on the Order 66 or the Protocol 66 arc, and I wanted to touch on that for a moment. Because you're right. We could Rush Clovis is in. Anakin is jealous. He's somehow no longer involved. Boom. Arc's over. What I want to talk about is this Sifo-Dyas arc, and the idea, Aaron briefly mentioned it, the idea of the Kaminoans being in on it. Now, I've heard different fan reactions like, well, there must be a bad Kaminoan or two. My impression when I first saw it, my initial impression was looking at the Kaminoans, I was like, man, they must have been in on it from the beginning. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always, we've talked about this on Frontlines before. I've always been under the impression that Order 66 wasn't really a secret so much as it was just like a lie by omission. You know what I mean? Like, like the Kaminoans assume that the Jedi know everything that's going on, because as far as they know, Tyrannus is a Jedi, and the order was put in by Jedi Master Sifo Dyas, who was on the council. So from their perspective, everything that they've done has been by the design of the Jedi. And to be fair, I don't think that having a safeguard in there to protect the Republic should the Jedi somehow become corrupted is a dangerous, or not a dangerous, but it's not an inherently evil thing. Obviously, Palpatine put it in there for his own, you know, for his own nefarious use, and we see that enacted in episode 3. But I don't know that you could necessarily fault anybody who created a large army.
Nope. Are you still there, Michael? Okay, sorry, yeah. Sorry, we lost you for just a second, Michael. But you're talking about, yeah, the safeguard for putting it. I mean, and I can kind of see that. The idea of putting in a precaution against, yeah, you know, if you have a specific faction of people like the Jedi running your entire, you know, galaxy-wide army, I could see someone putting in a safeguard.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the things that's interesting about the Jedi and the way that they integrate themselves into the Republic is that they're integrated, but they're autonomous. So they don't really work as part of the Republic, but they are members of the Republic. So, they've talked about it in the episodes with Tarkin, where Tarkin has this feeling of respect towards the Jedi, but he doesn't feel that he owes them anything by virtue of the fact that they're Jedi, right? Like they don't get a pass just because they're Jedi. If they do something wrong, you know, they're subject to the same laws as any other member of the Republic, and in particular with the Ahsoka arc, any member of the Grand Army, right? So, it's an interesting position to put those characters in, and the idea that you would have a safeguard like Order 66 in case they decided to overthrow the Republic, I think that's a perfectly rational and reasonable thing to have there. Now, the fact that we know that Dooku is a Sith Lord and that Dooku is Tyrannus, and Tyrannus is the one who put in the order, you know, via Sifo Dyas, or, you know, however that, I mean, we're going to find out the truth of what happened there in this arc, hopefully. And the Jedi Council knows that. They know that Tyrannus is the one who did it. They know that Dooku is calling himself Lord Tyrannus, Darth Tyrannus. And so they obviously see through all of that other stuff, but I don't know. I was just under the impression that it didn't really come off as a secret. It was just, you know, how many orders could there be? There's probably thousands, and 66 is just one of them, right? So I'm sure that there's probably an order in there somewhere to turn on the Chancellor, should the Chancellor attempt to seize power, right? Like, well, it's probably there. The Jedi just didn't know. So,
well, it'd be interesting to see just like how far they're willing to go, as far as whether it's still, well, there are a bunch of protocols in there, and that, you know, the Sith just take advantage of one of them, or whether it was more nefarious. And I think, fortunately, we're actually going to get some kind of explanation as to that, and that I'm actually very excited about. Man, I mean, there's so much good in this trailer, and as we record this, it's only 7 days away. Six days away, really. So by the time this podcast goes live, we're recording this on Saturday evening, it'll probably go live Sunday or Monday. You guys will be able to, you know, be commenting on and giving us your thoughts on the last season And yes, we'll call it a full season. Why not? The last season of the Clone Wars. It's going to be a great time. We'll be right back with you guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Star Wars Report. We've got a couple announcements post-credits, so stay with us. That's it for episode 123 of the Star Wars Report podcast. I love that song. All right, thanks for listening to this episode, guys. Remember, there are a myriad of ways to stay in contact with us. But before I tell you about all of those and about some of the stuff we'll be doing in the future, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor this week. It's Big Bad Toy Store for a great selection of Star Wars toys and collectibles. We want you to go over to StarWarsReport.com/toys, and that's where you can find a great selection of any Star Wars collectible you'd ever want. It's our solemn promise. Once again, at StarWarsReport.com/toys, and we thank Big Bad Toy Store for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. That's right, folks. Don't forget, stay in touch with us. Give us your thoughts on these Clone Wars episodes as they go live on Netflix. We want to be doing some, we'll be doing some sort of commentary here on the Star Wars Report. And we've got some other things in the works over at StarWarsReport.com. So stay tuned right there. But hey, in the meantime, stay in touch with us. Our email is StarWarsReport@gmail.com. It's Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport, and StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. We would appreciate any and all iTunes reviews that you guys should shoot our way. And that way, more folks will hear about the show. Leave us voicemail. Voicemail line is 858-859-0SWR. Michael, thank you so much for coming on this episode. Really appreciate you you being here.
No problem.
Enjoyed it. And where would you like folks to go? Where would you like to send folks? Because we got Clone Wars, we got Star Wars Rebels. What should folks be doing that are hearing the sound of your voice right now?
Okay, so here, I'll run it all down for you. There's the original Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast, the very first original Clone Wars dedicated podcast on the internet. You can find that at clonewarspodcast.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Clone Wars, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Clone Wars Podcast. Rebels Podcast is our newest podcast, and that one is covering everything Star Wars Rebels. Our first episode has just debuted, and you can find that at Rebels. Sorry. Yes, rebelspodcast.com. See, it's new. The shrink wrap's barely off, so I'm not used to plugging it just yet.
No, yeah. Great stuff I'm seeing. I'm really looking forward to everything you guys are doing, and we'll be interacting. We'll definitely have to get you back on the show. Hopefully, maybe as some of these episodes air in the next few weeks, we can get you and Matt on to talk about some of the more controversial episodes, because I'm pretty sure the fan community is going to have a lot to talk about. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So. Until next week, guys, thanks for listening to this podcast. We'll be with you, and remember, the power of the dark side. Many Bothans died.
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
All right, we're sitting here with Aaron Alston. Aaron, I'm Riley.
Howdy, Riley.
Pleasure to meet you. And this is my sister, Bethany.
How do you do?
And thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time.
No problem.
We're here at Fan Days 2011. What do you think of the show so far? Are you enjoying it?
I've had a great time. It's been really well attended. The fans have been super enthusiastic, and there's been a good heavy attendance for the panels that Timothy Zahn and I did upstairs.
Yeah,
we're very happy.
So that's been pretty successful. You've done quite a few author panels over the years. What's it like at a convention like this versus something much bigger like Dragon Con?
Well, it's not a question of bigger versus smaller. It's a question of the mix of fans and how many of them are either writers or very interested in how the process of writing works. I would not have known one way or the other at a convention like this what that mix would have been, but we had really good attendance, so I assume it's pretty high. Dragon Con, there are a lot more people showing up, but of course their interests are much more varied. So the proportion of aspiring writers is lower there, but the numbers will be higher, so it kind of balances out.
Oh, okay. That's neat.
Well, I was wondering, how did you originally begin writing Star Wars books? What got you into Star Wars books?
Okay, it's a weird story. So, you know, I hope you have enough tape.
Sure, yeah.
In the early 1980s, I was an employee of, eventually the senior editor of, a game company in Austin, Texas called Steve Jackson Games. And they published a magazine at the time called Space Gamer, which covered the broad field of science fiction, fantasy, board games, and role-playing games. Among the things we published were pieces of fiction, and a couple of the contributors to Space Gamer were very young writers by the name of Timothy Zahn and Michael A. Stackpole. Mike and I kind of developed a friendship over the years. We had very similar sensibilities. We were very fond of the 1930s hero pulps, characters like Doc Savage and The Shadow, and a similar kind of jaundiced view of the world at large. Years later, we both went, gravitated from game writing, game design, into fiction writing, and he received the assignment to do the first four X-Wing novels. There was a period of time when he was asked to do four more and did not have the time to do them because he was working on the hardback I, Jedi, and other projects, and he told the publisher that he could do one of them, but not all four. They asked for a list of writers he would recommend who had similar sensibilities, similar styles, that would not be too jarring a change if they took over the series briefly, and I was on the list of people he recommended. The editor of the Star Wars line at the time, Tom Dupre, also thought that my style was compatible with his and decided that I would be the right person for that transition. Now, that's not where the story gets strange. The story becomes strange because Tom, very soon after, left for another publishing company. He had me penciled in on the schedule, but had not contacted me. So I did not know I had the assignment for months and months and months.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea I had the assignment. And finally, the publisher at the time, Bantam, asked my the new editor, Pat Labruto, asked my agent, "How's Aaron coming on those Star Wars novels?" And my agent said, "I don't know. I'll ask." And that's how I found out I was doing Star Wars novels. I was already months behind on the deadline. I had to really scramble to catch up. Fortunately, it worked out all right.
Okay, wow.
Is that a strange enough story for you?
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of work cut out for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
What do you enjoy about writing in the Star Wars universe? I know sometimes it's hard with continuity. There are, over 140 books. And so what's it like writing for Star Wars versus writing other novels?
There's actually not that much difference. I've known other writers for whom it's quite a different experience, and their originals feel different to them than the Star Wars novels. But for me, it's the same amount of research, the same amount of effort. The primary differences are that you don't have to develop quite as many characters and situations. They exist in the predefined universe.
Oh, okay.
But you still have to do the additional work to integrate your story in the existing timelines and original characters with the existing characters in a believable fashion. So the amount of work is the same. It's kind of refreshing to play in somebody else's toys for a while. But once again, when you're done with that, it's just as refreshing to go back to your own. So
yeah.
I can't see that there's a big difference.
Okay. Well, do you have a favorite book that you've written?
I really have two. The first one is Starfighters of Adumar. That was my fourth of the X-Wing series. It was the novel that closed out the X-Wing series. And at the time I was assigned to do it, there were really no expectations. Another novel in the Bantam line had been canceled. They had a space open. They asked me to fill it, and I asked, "Well, what would you like?" They said, "Whatever you want."
Okay,
basically.
Starting right now.
And I had two ideas to pitch, one of which would have been a story set early in the marriage of Han and Leia, and one of which would have been the last of the X-Wings. And I decided on the X-Wings, and it was very, very easy to write. I was very familiar with the characters. There were no pressures on me. And so it was a real thrill to write it. It was there, and it was very popular with the fans. The second favorite was Betrayal. It was my first Star Wars hardback. It was the first novel in a new series and my first launch of a new series. So the expectations were very high. It was an honor to be able to be asked to launch a new series and in hardback. So I was very, very pleased. And the results seemed to please the fans. So
excellent. Now, the most recent Star Wars story that you've been working on is Fate of the Jedi, right? Or have no, you I even finished, more recent?
I am out of. I finished my contribution to Fate of the Jedi a while back. That was Conviction, which came out in March. I'm currently working on, about to finish, a novel called Mercy Kill, which is a continuation of the Rey Squadron story.
Yes, I've heard, and a lot of fans are very excited about it, because it's been a long wait to hear the continuation of the story.
The last Rey Squadron novel, Rey Squadron novel was in 1999.
Yeah, so it's almost not quite the wait between Return of the Jedi and The Phantom Menace, but almost there. Now, Fate of the Jedi is almost done. Do you have anything else that you're working on right now, both Star Wars or non-Star Wars?
I'm working on several items that are non-Star Wars related. I just finished a novel, which is a vampire action-adventure comedy.
Oh, yeah?
Called Growing Up Dead. I've done some short story work. My next short story will come out in a collection of military SF called Five By, which will be released at the start of November. I've done other short pieces, and I'm working on various original novels. And of course, hoping that at a certain point I'll have more Star Wars assignments as well.
Excellent. Now that sounds like you're a really busy guy. Where can people go to find out about those projects as they keep coming to fruition?
Well, I have several websites of various sorts that I manage and maintain. The first one is AaronAlston.com. That's my homepage. I have a blog at community.AaronAlston.com, and then I have a sales page at archerrat.com where I sell ebooks and we'll sell more and more items as time goes by. Hi, this is Aaron Alston, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.